Chapter 42. Technically, Theodore Mulvaney had failed his drug test. His parents had not gotten around to having him tested until 2 days after they left the high school. Brenda Mulvaney was a vice principal in a Newark grammar school. She explained to Albert that Ron had shown no tact whatsoever, but he was operating within the limits of what he could do. Albert objected again, and the next day when Brenda took her son to their physician to be tested, she made Theodore swear up and down, even as she and the doctor watched him urinate into the cup, that he never did drugs. The results were sent to the office of the superintendent of schools. Rufus Finley did not like having to officially acknowledge anything, and this was an annoyance. But he dealt with it. He called Muriel Browser and said, "Theodore Mulvaney's drug test is clear." That was the end of the story. Margaret Philco was smirking when she handed Ron the referral. Disruptive behavior, fighting. If she had just left it at disruptive behavior, there was a range. Fighting mandated at least a Saturday detention and perhaps an in-school suspension, but preferably an out-of-school suspension for at least 3 days. The student was Ted Mulvaney. "When did this fight happen?" said Ron. He noticed that the referral was not deeded. "Yesterday. Let me fix that." She snatched the referral back and put yesterday's date on it. "Who was the fight with?" said Ron. Margaret put her hand on her ample hip. "I don't think I should say." Ron tried to fathom how this person's brain could possibly operate, how their electronic gears meshed and synapses fired. It would all look so normal from the outside, and yet be so profoundly ridiculous. "Margaret," Ron began slowly, "let's review. First, you brought me a referral that was worded so that I was forced to require Ted to be drug tested, and all hell broke loose here over that. Now you want me to discipline him for fighting with someone whose identity you don't think I should know. Is that about right?" "I suppose that it could be viewed that way, but I don't really see what difference it should make." Ron felt his jaw almost drop again. She appeared to be so earth-gaggingly stupid. What was the miracle of science that allowed her comprehension of language? Unless, of course, it was an act. Just a little twist of what happened here and there. But that would require an accomplice. "You don't think that it would appear that you were harassing this student?" Margaret shook her head. "You're going to make it worse." "Okay. He hit a teacher." Ron was stunned. "He hit you?" "No, it was a male teacher." "Who was it?" "That's what I'd rather not say," asserted Margaret. "Which just coincidentally makes everything more serious," said Ron. "I'm officially reporting it to you, Dr. Tuck." Margaret nodded down at the referral. "Well, Margaret, I'm afraid this isn't going to do. Let's go and see the principal." Muriel Browser was confused after she heard the story. She, of course, knew the Mulvaney story, and this did not have a good look. "So what do you expect him to do with the referral?" said Muriel. "He's the vice principal. That's his decision." Margaret was a bit defiant. "Okay," said Ron. "If it's my call, then here it is." Ron took the referral and wrote, "No action, due to no detail," and handed Margaret the attached third copy. "Can't do anything, Margaret." "It was Mr. Breckenwald." Margaret said this like a sad admission that had been forced out of her. Why did Mr. Breckenwald report this? Muriel did not have a face to go with the name, but she had seen the name before. Why didn't Don report it? Ron did have a face and more. He said to just let it go and forget about it, and that the kid was in enough trouble already. Margaret shook her head. I wasn't going to stand by and have one of my teachers treated that way. Muriel Browser looked over at Ron, and he added, I'll talk to Don Breckenwald.